There may be some of us in the future to come that may die as martyrs in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we've taken the gospel to a world that is very aggressive, very anti-Christ, and very resentful, especially towards Christians that are sharing about the love of Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today, Raul is continuing our study of the destruction caused by false church leaders. Raul will urge us to combat their religious deceit by following the Apostle Paul's example of self-sacrificial evangelism. You may encounter hostile resistance to the gospel's truth, but it's important to remember that the eternal future of others is more important than your own personal comfort. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 17, here's Raul Reese.
As I was reading Paul the Apostle and the heart of Paul as he was now departing from Europe, and he's up in that area where now he's coming to Turkey, and he's there about 30 miles from the church of Ephesus and from the port of Ephesus, he calls all the elders of the church to come. And Paul, behind his mind, he knows that the Spirit of God has been warning him over and over that he's going to be killed sooner or later, that his time is short. But you know what's amazing about Paul the Apostle? And I am looking forward to meet Paul. Because Paul's heart was people, souls, the lost, those that did not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You will hear in his speech tonight, not a sermon, but a speech that he brings forth to these elders as he shares with them concerning the time that Paul was living and the time that they were living under. The personal testimony that he gives to them concerning Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his own personal life. But here we have Paul's view of the ministry, what the ministry is all about. Why don't you turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 17. He says, "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called for the elders of the church." He says that when they had come together to Paul, he said unto them, "You know that from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you." Paul begins to remind them of his integrity, his love, his compassion that he had for them. Paul wants to remind them that he never took anything from them and he never asked anything from them, but Paul gave himself to them and he brought them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he loved them. And so Paul is reminding them how he's loved for them and how he is there because of the love of Christ in his own heart for them individually. And then this is what's beautiful in verse 19. Paul begins to unfold his fourfold ministry to them. Fourfold ministry in verse 19. Number one, he says, "I want you to know that when I came to you, I came serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews." Paul is telling them, hey, it's not easy to be in the ministry. It's not easy to preach the gospel. Why? Because people don't want to hear the gospel. And sometimes people get angry and people retaliate and people get angry. And Paul had experienced beatings and almost died three times because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that didn't bother Paul because Paul was totally sold out to Jesus Christ. There may be some of us in the future to come. They may die as martyrs in the gospel of Jesus Christ because we've taken the gospel to a world that is very aggressive, very anti-Christ, and very resentful, especially towards Christians that are sharing about the love of Jesus Christ. And to me, Paul is literally here pouring out his heart to us tonight. Because this is, first of all, in the kind of manner that you and I are supposed to be serving the Lord. I think that's a beautiful thing. That the word servant here literally means a doulos, or that is, I serve Him because I love Him. I don't do it because I'm getting paid for it. I would do it for free if I have to do it for free. Secondly, he was serving not only Jesus Christ, but he was what? Serving with the attitude of humility. And what's so neat, look what he says here. Not only in humility serving the Lord, but how about you? How about me? When is the last time you started weeping because you know that your mother and your father and your brothers and sisters and your whole family and friends are not saved? Paul blows my mind because he says, not only that I serve the Lord with all humility, but with many tears. Many tears. And so Paul was a servant, humble, and he wept. Wept for people. And then Paul the Apostle, verse 20, notice what he says. Secondly, in verse 20, now his ministry towards the church, and that is what? Teaching the word of God to the church. In verse 20, look what he says. And I want you to know how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house. Notice that. Paul took the time at this particular time to go from house to house teaching them the word of God. Preaching is for the non-believer, teaching for the believer. Those that have come to a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. And look what Paul says, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks or the Gentiles, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Two things, repentance and faith, is proclaimed to the lost. And what does it mean to repent? Well, the word metanoia in the Greek means a change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of purpose, a change of lifestyle. That's what repentance means. To change my ways. Whatever I may be doing tonight in my life that is not pleasing to the Lord, I need to repent. I need to change my heart. I need to change my attitude. I need to start serving Him and loving Him. God will forgive you. God will cleanse you. God will wash you the moment you come totally in humility and say, Lord, man, I got deviated from the truth. Here I am. I was messing up, but I want to come back, Lord, and I want you to use my life. And He will. He will use your life completely. And I think it's so beautiful how repentance is needed, not only in the non-believer, but how I myself need to repent in my own heart when I sin against God. Because we're not perfect people. But surely when we come to repentance, we can see the fruit of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Making sure that our hearts are clean before God. And then look at finally in verse 22 here, the fourthfold is now towards himself. And that is the ministry of what? Of sacrifice. Verse 22. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen unto me. Paul says, you know what, you guys? I don't know if I'll ever see you again, but I know one thing, that the Spirit is warning me that the end of my life is coming soon. But I want you to know this, I am committed to Jesus Christ. You know what else? I am committed to you, because I love you. That's what Paul is sharing in his heart. The Spirit is speaking to my heart. I'm going bound, notice, not by Satan or by any man. I am bound by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen unto me. Why? Because Paul knew that the Holy Spirit was going to lead him and guide him into all truth. And that's the same way with us. Who shall I fear? I fear no one but God. And then verse 23, I love it. Look at Paul's submission here. He says, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying that chains and tribulations await me. Would you go if you knew that? Think about it. The Holy Spirit is saying, Paul, if you go, you're going to be put in chains. They're going to beat you. They're going to prosecute you. And they're going to tell you to deny Jesus Christ. And you're going to be crying. And you're going to be suffering. And you're going to be bummed out. And Paul, do you still want to go? I mean, would you want to go if you knew all these things were going to happen to you? You would have to think about it. To say to your wife or to say to your children, hey, I'll see you in heaven. I'm not coming back. Why? Because the Holy Spirit already told me I'm going to be in prison, I'm going to be beaten, and I'm going to die. Paul knew. Paul was in tune with the Holy Spirit. Paul was in submission to the Holy Spirit. Notice, he laid down his life for Christ to the Holy Spirit. And that's how we need to live like Paul. What a great example we have in Paul the Apostle. Look what he says, so neat, man. Verse 24. But none of these things move me. Underline that. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Why? So that I may finish my race with joy. Hey, you guys, we're in a race. A race. They were running.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com to explore our full range of resources, each designed to grow and strengthen your faith as you walk with Jesus. You can also email Raul your Bible questions. His address is PastorRaul@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Now back to more with Raul Reese.
And when I read these words, it touches my heart because I feel like Paul. I feel that, Lord, whatever happens, my attitude has to be like Paul the Apostle. And the only reason that Paul says, I'm saying this thing to you is because none of these things move me, because I am running in a race that I'm going to finish. And in this race, it's not a race that is a bummer, but it's a race that brings joy to my heart. He says, because the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ is to testify to you of the grace of God. Listen to Paul's words right before his head came off in 2 Timothy chapter 4. The same thing he's saying here. He says, beginning with verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And check this out. And not to me only, but also to Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs, to all those who are loved, his appearing. That's us. Every one of us that are here tonight. We will receive that crown that God is going to give to each one of us individually if we continue to be persistent in the race. We have to work together as a team. And if you know of any people in the church here that have actually fallen out and they're backslidden, men, we need to have the compassion and the heart to go to them and to bring them back to the Lord, because the time is short. And then check this out, verse 25. Paul shares now with them that they will be the last to see him. He says, and indeed, now I know that among you all whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. He knew. God showed him he was going to die. You know what a sad thing it is, but yet what a pleasant thing it is, what a joyful thing it is, saying, you guys, I'm going to be with the Lord soon. It's a joy that one day we're going to be in the presence of the Lord, and all of us one day will meet there, some sooner than others, and yet Paul's heart is being poured out to them. Verse 26, look at his declaration. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am, and underline this, I am innocent of the blood of all men. Notice what he says. Responsibility, accountability to those that are lost. Why? Because I have not failed to declare to you the whole counsel of God. That is, Paul was faithful to preach to them the whole Bible. The whole mind of God, just like we do here at Calvary Chapel. And I want to make sure that in time to come, as the Lord tarries, and one day, maybe I'll be whatever God has for me, I can stand up and say to you and make that proclamation even tonight, because I've already done it once, that I have not failed to give to you the whole counsel of God if I was to die tonight. I know that I have given to you the full counsel of God. And I thank God for you that we can say that. And Paul is saying, you guys, be accountable to the counsel of God. And then he says this, this is so beautiful, verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, and this is to the leadership of the church. Notice, he says, now you guys that are leaders, the elders, the deacons, the pastors, know one thing, the church is not yours, the church belongs to Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ has made you watchmen, overseers. Watching out for the people of God. Taking care of the people of God. This is why. Listen what he says. Among you which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That is to feed the flock of God. How do you do that? By the teaching of the word of God. Feeding the word of God. The charge of God that he gives here to Paul and to each shepherd and each leadership of the church. There are those people that fleece the flock of God, but he said, and I want you to feed the flock of God, to give to them the word of God. Tell them about my grace, my love, and my mercies. And I want you to tell them, when you teach them, that the church of Jesus Christ doesn't belong to man. It was paid by a full price through the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid your debt, my debt, through his blood. We have to be so thankful to God for his son, Jesus Christ, by sending his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. And one little drop of the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me and washed away every one of my sins, past, present, and future. Imagine that. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then he said, verse 29, for I know this, the warning now, that after my departure, what's going to happen, Paul? Savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, I would expect it from people from coming from the outside and trying to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. But what saddens my heart is verse 30. He says, also from among yourselves, men that are selfish, self-willed, they don't have the Spirit of God. What will they do? They will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. You see, they're going to spray lies about the pastors, but the leaders of the church, but the congregation. They're going to try to come in and divide it and separate it and start their own little fellowship somewhere else. And who are they going to attack? Not the ones that are rooted and grounded in God's word. They're going to go after the new believers. They're just starting in their faith. And then verse 31, he says to them, therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn every one of you night and day with tears. There it is again. Paul is crying. Tears. Knowing what was going to happen and that some of them would be taken captive by the enemy. But you see the heart of a shepherd, the heart for his sheep, that's Paul. That's Paul the apostle. And then in verse 32, now he gives Paul's example, his personal example to them. And so now, you guys, I commend you to God. I love that. And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified or saved. You see how beautiful that is? I commend you to the Lord. I can't be here, but the Lord is with you. I'm commending you to the Lord. And God is going to make you grow through the word of God, because you have an inheritance among those who are saved. Verse 33, I love this. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or dress. Hey, I never fleeced the flock of God. I like that. Paul fed the flock of God. He never took people for a ride. Never, never, ever asked from anybody anything. The people gave to Paul because they loved the Paul. And Paul used that money for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. Paul got a job and he worked from 8 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock in the morning, actually making tents. He was a tent maker. And from 11 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he preached and he taught the word of God. Imagine that. What an example Paul is to the kingdom of God. He says, God takes care of my necessities, and I work with my own hands to provide for my needs. And then he says this, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only place in the Bible you will find this. You won't find it ever again in the New Testament, only here. And it says this, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Notice the challenge that Paul makes here. It's not just giving because you have it, but it's more blessed to give than to constantly be receiving. It's a joy to give to the work of the Lord. There are people that only want to receive and they want to take. But how blessed it is when you have it or you don't have it, and you give sacrificially to the Lord, and you give it out of your heart, and then God will bless you for it.
As the Bible tells us, it's important to remember that in the last days, many deceitful leaders will rise up in the church and try to sway those who are new or weak in their faith. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson is available in its complete form for a donation of $5 or more. To get your copy, just call us at 800-634-9165. As you consider what you can do to stop the spread of unsound doctrine, we'd like to tell you about a 6-part series titled False Prophets, Ravenous Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. It's a study that's available on either CD or thumb drive, packed with insight that will equip you to identify spiritual frauds. You'll discover how to counteract their lies with the true message of the gospel. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order all 6 lesson series titled False Prophets, Ravenous Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. We'll send your flash drive for $10 or the CD set for $21. That's 800-634-9165. You can also write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We encourage you to take advantage of all of our free resources. Join Rolf for Straight Talk on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Podcasts of archived Somebody Loves You radio programs are also available on that channel, or you can look for them on iTunes and Spotify. We're grateful for every tax-deductible gift that keeps us sharing the good news of Jesus. We are completely listener-supported. Well, thank you for making us a part of your day today. We love studying the Bible with you, and we invite you to join us next time for more inspired truth from God's Word. Now, here's Raul with the closing thought.
Verse 36, and when he had said these things, what did he do? He knelt down, and he prayed with them all. Can you imagine what a picture that would be? A portrait of the sea in the Mediterranean and all these guys on their knees and Paul sitting there and he's praying for them. That's the picture of Paul as he's leaving them now. And then they all wept freely. They all wept. And they fell on Paul's neck and they kissed him. You think they loved each other? You bet. The love of Christ for one another. How we need to fall on one another's necks and weep and cry with each other. And really care for each other. And really pray for each other as we stand together. And then check this out. This is so incredible. Sorrowing most of all, why? For the words which Paul spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Can you imagine as they went to the ship and then the ship started going out to sea? They stood there and he could see them off on the shore. And they got more distant and they got littler and littler. And finally, they couldn't see Paul anymore and he couldn't see them. They were probably weeping the whole time.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.